I woke at 5 a.m. in a glowing mist, my green sleeping bag blackened with the dew, for the whole plateau of the Vile is above 2,000 feet. I made a fire, with twigs gathered the night before, and set water to boil for coffee in a petit pois tin with wire twisted rounded as a handle. Then I went down to the Loire, here a little more than a stream, and sat naked in a pool cleaning my teeth. Behind me the sun came out, and the wood fire smoke turned blue. I felt rapturous and slightly mad. I reached Les Monastiers 2 hours later in the local grocer's van, one of those square citrons like a corrugated garden privy, which smelt of camembert and apples. Monsieur Crespi, chauffeur and patron, examined my pack and soaking bag as we danced along through rolling uplands. Our conversation took place in a sort of no-man's land of irregular French. Monsieur Crespi's patois and midi twang battled for meaning against my stonewall classroom phrases. After initial skirmishing, he adopted a firm line of attack. "You're walking on foot," he said, leaning back into the depths of the van with one arm and presenting me with a huge yellow pair. "Yes, yes, I'm searching for une cosse, a Scotsman, a writer, who walked on foot through all this beautiful country." "Is a friend of yours? You have lost him?" inquired Monsieur Crespi with a little frown. "Oh, no, 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 well, yes, you see, I want to find him." My chin streamed hopelessly with pear juice. Monsieur Crespi nodded encouragingly. "The pear is good, n'est ce pas?" "Yes, it is very good." The Citroën lurched round a bend and plunged down towards a rocky valley, broken with trees and scattered stone farmhouses with pink tiled roofs and goats tethered in small bright pastures where the sun struck and steamed. The spire of a church, perched on the far hillside, pointed the horizon. "There is Les Monastiers. Look, perhaps your friend is waiting for you," said Monsieur Crespi, with great confidence. "Oh, no, no, I don't think so," I said, but it was exactly what I hoped. I rummaged in my rucksack. You see, here is his book. It tells the story of his walk on foot." Monsieur Crespi peered at the little brown volume, and the Citroën swung back and forth across the road, the sound of rolling fruit growing thunderous behind us. I hastily propped the book up on the dashboard, being careful not to cover the Saint-Christophe medal or the picture of Our Lady mounted above a cone of paper flowers. I ran my finger down the sketch map on the title page. Les Monastiers, Pradelles, Langogne, Notre-Dame de Lignes, Montagne du Goulet, Pic de Finiel, Le Pont de Montvert, Florac, Gorge du Tarn, Saint-Jean-du-Gard. To me, already magic names, a litany of hills and rivers, with a lone figure striding along them, laughing, beckoning, even mocking. "Follow, follow." Monsieur Crespi considered the map, and then my face, then the map again, and changed gear with a reflective air. "It is far, it is far." "Yes," I said, "it is 220 kilometres. Monsieur Crespi raised a finger from the steering wheel. "And you are Scottish then?" No, I'm English. My friend, that is to say, Mr. Stevenson, was Scottish. He walked on foot with a donkey. He slept à la belle étoile." "Ah, that," broke Mr. Crespi with a shout, taking both hands from the steering wheel and striking his forehead. I understand. You are on the traces of Monsieur Robert Louis Stimson. Bravo, bravo. Yes, I'm following his paces." We both laughed, and the Citroën proceeded by divine guidance. I understand, repeated Monsieur Crespi. And I believe he was the first person who ever did.